podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
There are going to be a couple of surprises, but look, there's no surprises where we start at the top of the power rankings tables this week, is this year?
No, look, yeah, I was saying just before, the teams are starting to become true to form. So I think a lot of the things that we've talked about for each team, we might not touch on those same things in depth this week because, you know, the same issues that were there 2 weeks ago are for some teams still kind of there, still the troubling signs or still the really positive signs for teams. And yeah, the way I kind of manufacture the index is really around who's kind of built up that those points in the background from the last few weeks, who's sort of up there at the top of the table, but also who I think is rising and moving up the ladder. So, I mean, yeah, it's no surprise, I guess, for anyone that we do start with the Rajasthan Royals. I will say we're recording this on a Monday, and there's two massive games in the next couple of days with Rajasthan to play against Mumbai and CSK to play LSG. And those two games, I think, could have a big bearing on probably where next week's power rankings kind of shake out for all four of those teams, really. But, you know, Rajasthan, a quiet-ish week for them. Some of these teams, we'll see, have only played one game. But, I mean, what a game it was for the Rajasthan game against KKR, sneaking home thanks to an incredible 100 from Joss Butler. And, yeah, I know you guys already talked about it on Thursday's pod, so, you know, you might not want to go into it in too much depth. But, any thoughts to get off your chest about how good that innings was? Because, I mean, yeah, I really think it was one of the best we've seen it so far in IPL 2024 for sure.
Yeah, look, I'm probably slightly biased given Josh is an Englishman, but I think I watched the highlights and then I had to go back and watch again to get, you know, a bit more detailed context around just how good that innings was. And I was throwing some stats in the chat with you guys, and when you kind of look at where ultimately, they lost the wicket of Rovman Powell, I think, 16 overs, so 16.5 overs, so three balls, yep. Three overs and one ball to go. I think Joss Butler then faced all but probably one or two balls of that.
He faced every single one.
Yes, I think he faced the last one. 19 balls or something like that, but it was a ridiculous manipulation of the strike, and he was out on his feet. And look, I don't think there's a better icing of an innings. I think if he's probably overcritical, he would have probably liked to have given himself a ball to spare rather than getting there off the final ball of the innings. But look at a really, really important, really, really important knock. And, you know, unfortunately for Sonny Onorine, he'll go down as a little bit like that, you know, Nathan Aston double 100 in that test match. You know, it'll go down as the second best 100 after the one that won the game. So Graham Thorpe on that occasion looks sort of tongue slightly in cheek. But yeah, look, Rajasthan, top of the table. I don't think there's any arguments with the record that they've got so far. I think, you'd be a really, really brave man to bet against them, obviously, going into the final four. And I guess it's just really whether they can finish and be in that position of having a couple of bites at the cherry with the dominator, the eliminator, whatever the sort of playoff system's called.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, look, they're flying high. I don't think, I don't have any specific questions for them other than to point out really about that it started to dawn on me that obviously with the T20 World Cup so close following behind, that there are going to be some players that do leave the IPL early. And Rajasthan has, one of the countries, I guess, that are going to be that have some cricket. So England has a series from the 22nd of May against Pakistan, and Rajasthan have their last pool game is on the 20th of May against KKR, and then obviously into the playoffs, which finishes on the 27th of May. So, I know all the boards have different decisions about who can go and when you're supposed to join up with your international side. I know New Zealand in the past have kind of let people like Trent Bolt play in finals as well. I don't know what the England plan is, so I don't know that we necessarily need to speculate here, but, you know, there are going to be, for Rajasthan, if someone like Joss Butler is missing for the business end, that's going to be a big factor.
Yeah, so I think that there isn't anything in terms of recent commentary around this, so that the commentary around what England players were going to have to do goes back to prior to the tournament starting. So I guess because of the schmozzle that England, you know, found themselves at in that 50-over World Cup, and they felt they were underdone in terms of their preparation. Back when, you know, when the sort of schedule was being finalised, the view was that they were going to be asking the players to leave in order to play in that series. So, you know, that would be obviously less players now than it would have been back in November, December when they're having those conversations, because England have obviously had quite a few high-profile guys pull out, the likes of Harry Brook, for example. But Ben Stokes, of course, who is actually retired, I think, as well from T20 cricket. So, I don't think we'll see him in that World Cup anyway. But, yes, the current way that it stands is that they will be pulling out those players for that series against that T20 series. So, going to be really, really interesting to see whether or not there's any latitude with that. And look, I think it will probably come down to someone like Josh Butler. He'll set the tone as obviously the white ball captain of England. He'll decide whether or not there's a case to play that the best preparation for them is to be completing the IPL, or whether they do want to get together as a group.
Anything to add on Rajasthan, Baldy, or should we just move on?
No, we can move on. I think the only point that's really worth making is that they can lock up their final four berth pretty much this week mathematically. They've got, as you say, Mumbai, a big game coming up in the next couple of days. Then later on in the week, they've got Lucknow away. If they can lock up both of those two games, they, of course, take points off both of those sides. Looking to nail that fourth spot, and they can get to 8 wins with a few games to play that allows them even more room to experiment and play with different combinations over the back end of the tournament.
Baldy, can we cover off in terms of, I guess, that leaving the IPL piece? We obviously won't see the Indian players leave. That will be their tune-up. What about the Aussies? What would you rather see from the Aussies? Do you want them to have a camp and, you know, a bit of golf and maybe carry some weights around, or, you know, whatever you do now in these sort of team building things? Or do you want to see them see the IPL out?
I don't think necessarily that we've got a lot of track record in terms of build up, because the World Cup that we won, we didn't play very much cricket as a team in the lead up. In fact, we were terrible that year in the lead up to the World Cup that we won, the ODI World Cup I'm talking about. So, I'm not sure what the best approach is for Australia in those circumstances. I think if you look at the players who are in form, they want to keep playing IPL cricket. I think the guys who aren't in poor form probably want to get away from that environment, reset themselves mentally and physically, and, you know, get in the camp around the other guys and get ready to go again. I think there's something to be said for Andrew McDonald's team preparation. I think he has them well prepared, generally speaking. So I think they probably wouldn't mind being in that environment together.
Yeah. Lippy, let's come on to number two in the Lipshaw Index, and it doesn't go with the table, does it? I don't think, in terms of your choice for who's currently, you know, second best, I suppose, on recent form.
Yeah, look, I've moved Sunrisers Hyderabad up to number two, and just what a week it's been for them. You know, 287 for 3 against RCB. I know you guys touched on that earlier in the week, and then, you know, followed that up with 266 for 7 against Delhi. 2 away games, 2 massive wins, and just some absolutely remarkable numbers from their batters. You know, we think about, you guys talked about the game earlier. They scored, 125 in the power play in their most recent game. 6 overs, 125 for none. There was 24 boundaries out of those 36 balls. It is absolute mayhem. And it all really starts with that opening pair and Travis Head and Abhishek Sharma. They have been absolutely brilliant.
They have been, and one of them is probably pretty close to playing his way into contention for the Indian side. I think if India didn't have 20 or 25 potential top-order players to fit into their squad of 15, Abhishek Sharma, he would be, if not locked into the 11, he would be on the plane for just about any other nation based on his form in the IPL at the moment, I would say. Maybe one or two other nations might disagree, but his form has been outstanding. Like you say, Stuart, the opening partnership has been a big reason why the Sunrisers have put up these huge, huge scores. Travis Head is starting to come off. He had the second best 100 this week, I think it's probably fair to say, in terms of batters making hundreds in the IPL this week. And he has started to make some real difference for the Sunrisers. And it's good to see at least one Aussie being in form in the IPL so far.
Yeah, look, Nitish Kumar Reddy going well as well. Yeah. No relation to Raj, unfortunately for him. I'll see, yeah, might get some tickets for the final by the way that the Sunrisers are going. But yeah, look, I actually had to stop watching the highlights of this game. I was in a coffee shop kind of watching that. You know, I could try and catch up on the highlights during my coffee fix or whatever. And I was like, hold on, have I got the math right here? Are they going at 22 yeah. and over? And I had to go and look at the scorecard just to check that there wasn't a typo on the IPL graphics when they lost that first wicket, I think, Abhishek. The score was 131. And I was like, nah, it's not the sixth over, surely. They must have gone back and maybe, or forward and look, the overs are wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely crazy. And in a way, they probably should have got more than 260.
Yeah.
If
it wasn't for those,
faltered.
Akshar and Kuldeep basically saved Delhi from being, the first side to have 300. It is amazing, anyone listening that hasn't seen any highlights of that game, if you love boundaries, then honestly, you have to watch that. And it's so bizarre because you watch, you watch it live, but then you watch a 10-minute highlight package. They're cutting out sixes. Like the 10-minute highlight package that's on the IPL website, normally every single six is there. Yeah. Like sometimes they miss a four, they have to kind of move on. There's so many these days. They're cutting out sixes now. It's just phenomenal. And, you always talk about bowlers getting sore necks from looking up into the stands. The umpires are the thing. I hope those two umpires have got good physio coverage because going putting their arms up and down all day, they need some serious physio work after that. It was just amazing.
The one thing that struck me watching that is we've heard a lot of this chat around, should you get 12 hit it 100 metres? I'm going to go the other way. Should you actually be getting four on some of these Indian grounds when you're only having to plink it 57 to hit a six? So, sometimes you're seeing the ball disappear and you're like, okay, that could be, oh no, that's, 30 rows back, but the boundary's only 60 metres. There's not a lot they can do. They can't make, the grounds too much bigger without a bit of building work. But maybe that's something for all those batters that want 12 when you hit it 110. Should they reduce it to four when
three.
It's three? Okay, excellent.
I think to be fair, most of these are going a long, long way, especially the ones being hit by Travis Head, by Abhishek Sharma, by Heinrich Klaassen in particular. He's hitting them onto the roof, over the roof. I think he hit Lockie over the roof RCB game.
There's no doubt there's some huge sixes, but I do think particularly when you're used to seeing the Australian and English grounds that we see now, they have so much space in between the Toblerone and the advertising boards. That's not the case, obviously, in this IPL. There's sometimes, players are having to time their jump to, make sure they don't land with their spikes on the covers that are piled up just behind the table. And there's no room really to make those grounds any bigger. And on a serious note, I think from a safety perspective, I just hope we don't see, particularly with the level of acrobatic fielding we get nowadays, that, someone crashing into those boundary boards or into a fence or into some, covers or ground equipment that's left in what is a pretty small runoff area, I think, for the guys.
A couple of minor points on Sunrisers before we move on. They've conceded 200, well, they've conceded 240 twice in this tournament. They've conceded another score of 200 and another score of 190. Mm. Are there any concerns, and I know it's hard to say this if they've rattled off four on the bounce and won four of their last five, but are there any concerns about that bowling lineup getting into the pointy end of the tournament if they'd have to defend 170?
I think it's a fair point to raise. I don't feel I can assess it until they get a lower score. I think that's when you find out how an attack actually is because, when you're defending 260, you kind of can afford to, you're not as stressed. I mean, I know that now teams are kind of getting pretty close to some of these scores, but I think that they can be pretty encouraged by the way that someone like Natarajan has bounced back this IPL. He's been great. He was 4 for 19 in the most recent game. I said it last week. I think Pat Cummins has been really excellent. I know his figures might not suggest that always. I think that RCB game, he was the best bowler in the game, but he went for 43 because that game was just so high scoring. But yeah, what he's been able to do is kind of get the sense of what you need to do, how you need to bowl on every single pitch. And I think he's kind of figuring that out really, really well. I think they're still short a spinner. We kind of know that about the Sunrisers attack and, whether that's going to be a problem down the line, possibly. But at the moment, scoring 260 every game, then it's not really an issue. It's kind of like KKR and the concerns we have around their bowling that we might kind of touch on, but they have it in different areas.
Mm. Yeah. Look, I don't think you can take a massive amount away from the way that they've batted. I think if I've got a question, outside of the bowling piece. It's what happens if they have to chase something like that. So I'd have been really interested to see, you know, we've seen a couple of teams get within 20, 25, and you've kind of, well, how on earth are you getting 220 or 240 and not winning a game of T20 cricket?
Yeah.
I'd really like to see them, you know, have to chase down a 220 or a 240.
Yeah.
Because I do think that's different. I think it's a completely different pressure when you've got, scoreboard pressure.
How quickly do you think Rishabh Pant was regretting his decision to put them in the other day? Which over do you think, when it was 20 for none after one, when it was 20 for none after two?
Ball three. Yeah. Ball three.
Yeah, maybe I made the wrong call here.
Could be a long one. Could be a long one.
Let's move on to, we're running through these, but we're going to get to, I think, number three in the Lipshaw Index. Tell me it's my boys.
It is your boys now, KKR. And look, you know, a really fun week for KKR in terms of being a neutral fan. Two final ball thrillers, one a lot of Rajasthan that we just talked about. The other one, a win against RCB overnight that had so many different elements and such a fun game. I mean, initially, any thoughts on that game last night? So, so close.
I'd like to hear from Michael on this, and particularly around match-winning performances in the IPL.
He's hit the overs. Did you have the overs? How much did you have on the overs?
Who are we talking? Let the listeners know. I know, but...
Andre Russell.
Yeah.
Over or under match winners with the line, 2.5?
You gave 2.5, yeah.
And you hit the overs?
To be honest, I nearly walked out of the podcast, Michael, due to your disrespect.
Okay, well, fair enough. He's hit the overs, hasn't he? Well played, Dre Russ.
He certainly has.
In a team chock full of superstars, though, in a team full of match winners, it's actually very impressive for him to come up with those three match winning performances. Given Naren's had a great tournament, Phil Salt's had a great tournament,
Rinku, Ramandeep's had a good tournament,
etc. Yeah. So, yeah, for him to pull off three match-winning performances out of, what, seven games they've played so far? They seem to have played less games than every other team.
KKR. There's sort of a mix between seven and eight at the moment. Your point about Andre Russell being, you know, a match-winning performance, and like the stats don't necessarily off the page in this game, but those three wickets were so, so huge. Yep. They were, the RCB ended up kind of, you know, they ended up needing a big score off the final over to get it. But at that point, when Dre Russ came on for his first over, they're 137 for none off 11 overs, kind of looking to cruise down to get 220, even though that was a massive score. Dre Russ picks up two wickets in that first over, then comes back and picks up DK at the end. So, you know, it's often you sort of feel like he has this incredible knack of picking up a wicket. I saw his strike rate is under 9. So, he's picking up a wicket less than every 9 balls. So he's doing a remarkable job. But this game in particular, the wickets that he got was huge.
Yeah, hit the nail on the head. It was the three wickets that he took and when he took them.
Yeah.
Back to back, getting out. Obviously, I think that the guys that were set in, Will Jackson, he's always in the game. And I think that they've got 4 or 5 guys that are box office. And really interested in Baldy's thoughts on Mitchell Starc in this game, because he bowled what was the over of the game. Absolutely. I don't know what the word is that we can use, but it was, he must have had his arse in his hand for a moment.
He was a bit that is squeaky bum time for Mitchell Starc, but he pulled it off. Oh, well done him.
Great catch. Tell you what, to actually get the combo after being thumped for those sixes, it was very, very impressive. I mean, the thing about, I see he's kind of getting sort of the scruffy facial here. I don't know if that's a
podcast.
You know, things going on, but, he's not having time. He's too busy sort of thinking about what's going on the field.
I think he's just got the sure look. I think he just wants to look more like you, more like your beard.
Maybe. But I want to come back to those West Indians, because I actually think that if we're talking about KKR's bowling, Sunil Narine's been getting a lot of plaudits. The coaching staff of KKR have been getting a lot of plaudits for putting him up the top of the order. He's averaging 40 with the 76 strike rate, 100, 150. But I actually think that's downplaying his impact with the ball, because his impact with the ball has been so, so impressive as well. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all these games where people are getting 260, 270. He's got over 7 and 0 across all of his games. He's got 9 wickets as well. He is doing a super job. And kind of doing the job. You know, I'm sure he was supposed to do the job with the ball as well, for their sake, that Chakravarti might kind of be the lead spinner. And I think it's going the other way now. You know, Chakravarti still bowls his overs. He's okay in some games, but he seems much more hittable than Naren at the moment. And Naren is doing a super, super job. And it's tying a lot of that stuff together for KKR's bowling attack.
Yeah, look, absolutely. We'll come on to it, I think, later. There was a talking point in this game. So it relates, obviously, to the RCB, but I was talking about this match. And that's that umpire's review in the end, I think, for a height no ball, shall we say. And look, probably we've, I think, had this conversation on the pod and said, you know, very, very difficult to sometimes judge this when you're looking at the Hawkeye or the side on without a reference point. They're now measuring the waist height of all the batsmen in them. And that's how this, you know, rule was applied. It was interesting, I think, was it Michael Gough, I think, might have been the TV umpire. And I think his comment was that the technology tells us that it is a no ball.
Not a no ball.
So almost sort of, I don't know whether I'm reading too much into that, but it was always almost as if he was saying I don't agree with this. Or maybe he was just trying to curry favour with Virat Kohli and too many threats on his social media profiles for giving Virat out. But what did we think of that?
Well, I think if that's the way the law is written and that's the way the law is applied, then that's the way we've kind of got to roll with it, right? For the cricket fan, it's very difficult to understand that we've pre-measured the height of someone's hip pocket standing up, and you measure that's how high the ball was or less when the ball passed the pin crease, not where the ball passed the bat or where the hip, whatever, wherever he was standing, it's where the ball passed the popping crease. So it's a very technical law to apply.
It'll
not
be,
easy
it'll be
to
a playing condition, won't it? It won't be, because the law will be how the law's written. This is specific to the IPL.
The law will be the same, but it's
The application of the law is
through the technology.
That's the specific piece that I think the third umpire was able to point out, is the technology decision here, and that's where we're getting our measurement from. So if everyone's listening or everyone's watching on TV, this is how I've come to my decision. So please don't send me nasty letters.
Yeah. You know what? I really like it, because I actually think that it takes the subjectivity out. And this is a rule that is really, really hard to judge in some cases about, you know, is that ball going to go? Like, if someone is actually just looking at it, how can they judge accurately without that technology? I think it puts it in the same ballpark. For me, it puts it in the same ballpark as a run out. You know, you go, there's the line, and they didn't make the line. So for the ball, this is the case. We've measured everyone. I think that's fantastic that they've actually gone to the point of measuring everyone, getting all of that stuff sorted.
Can I just, point of clarity, I didn't see the delivery. Did Virat miss the ball or did he hit it?
No, it's way too, like, he's out of his crease.
Did he hit the ball?
Hit the ball, hit the ball, but like way too, you know, where he was, it was way over his waist, and he got a surprise right from where it was, played the shot, you know, pretty much went nowhere, ballooned up court. And he immediately sent it upstairs and, fractionally under, according to the technology.
Yeah. I like the technology. I think we had this conversation in the club game. Ultimately, he's charged down the wicket or moved down the wicket, and it's hit him, obviously, or impacted higher than waist height. But obviously, we come back to that law, and it was when it would have passed the popping crease with the predictive element, it was low enough. Gomberger. We're not going to talk too much about MS Dhoni, I think.
He did have another
helpful little cameo. But CSK, you've got here, are they too balanced, Lip? Do you want to explain?
Yeah. Look, so CSK is the fourth team on my list here. They, you know, like I said, I almost put them at one last week because they seem to be absolutely flying. And they've had to bump down this week, only one game, lost to LSG in a game that, you know, I thought that the form expected them to win that game. They didn't win that game, and suddenly now LSG is sort of back on level terms with them in terms of the table. Much like when they lost to Delhi, I don't necessarily think we have to look too deeply at this loss in particular and try and pick it apart. I think CSK is going just fine. I guess I just wanted to talk out when we look at those teams above CSK at the moment, the Rajasthan, you know, KKR, Sunrisers, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of, you know, scoring over 200, all this kind of stuff. And CSK, when you look that up, you don't get that same sense of this side could pile on 250. There are a couple of guys, certainly when Rutchen was, you know, on fire at the start of the tournament, they were you know, scoring really well in the power play. They were, you know, they were getting going. Dubé is another who, you know, when he comes in at four, he can get let loose. MS Dhoni is finishing innings absolutely brilliantly at the moment. I genuinely do think they should be getting it, but that's kind of, we've probably done enough MS Dhoni should be higher up the order content. I just want to kind of talk because I honestly think that you could, that top eight for CSK, and we saw it in this game, you know, Ravi Jadeja comes in at four. You could stick the top eight for those guys and put them all in a hat and pick out names each time.
Maybe that's what they are doing.
Well, yeah, you could pick out names each time and you still would be able to have a batting lineup that can build in innings and get you to a respectable score. They're not doing that. They're not mucking around with things too much. But is that sort of overall sort of composure and balance, all of them are usually really good, is that leaning away, or am I just overthinking this and trying to find a hole? Do we see? I don't necessarily think this is an issue. I just kind of wanted to talk it out with you guys.
It's interesting that you've kind of opened the show to say that by now in this teams are where they are and their record is their record.
Mm.
Chennai's record over the last five games is 2-3.
Yeah.
Fewer than losses over the last five games. And each time they've lost a game, we've said, we don't really need this. We'll move on. I think it is actually worth having a look at, are CSK in and amongst the top two or three sides in this tournament, or are they a tier below? Because if you have a look at their last five games, there are a tier below, and that their losses come to us, good side,
yep,
on a roll. Delhi, who, you know, up and down.
Yeah.
Their other loss is against LSG, who are nipping at their heels now on the table, missed an opportunity to put a side away and to develop a gap between them and the rest of the competition. So I think for all the talk of there being great finishers and there being a tremendously talented side and all the rest of that is true, if their record is their record, their current record over their last five games is a little concerning.
Mm.
I don't know what else to read into that, but I think it's going to take LSG coming up, Sunrise, if not Sunrises, then at least wins against LSG and Punjab to get them back on track and get them to, what would that make them, seven wins or six wins if they win two out of their next three, to get them in and amongst that competition. I want to see them beat the Sunrisers before we start taking them super serious as championship contenders.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think they're going to have to beat LSG. Like, I mean, yeah, they have to beat LSG in the next game to, if they don't, they're going to slip out of that top four. And we've seen that the sides at the top at the moment are just not slipping up. So, you know, you don't want to be stuck behind, you know, chasing the tail, which a few of these sides now that we're going to talk about are. And yeah, look, I'm just not sure that they're quite getting what they want out of even someone like Samir Rizvi, who, you know, it's not fair to pin any of this on him. He's a young player. He's a player that they're bringing in as an impact player. But I think if you look at lots of the other sides, the way they're bringing in young Indian local players, they're all having, like, a lot of them are having quite a big impact, and they're just not quite getting that from Rizvi. They're not quite getting, you know, they also didn't get it from Daryl Mitchell. Rachin Ravindra's fallen into a bit of a hole. Gaikwad's been good and, you know, some and up and down. Rahane's not quite matched. So definitely a peg down from where they were last year. I don't know if that means that, you know, they can turn it around, or that they need to worry about turning it around or doing anything like that. But yeah, I think that, they're just a step below where they were at the moment last year.
Yeah, it's puzzling for me. And we talk about Dhoni, and I don't want to talk too much about him. He comes in for Rahane in the last game. Dhoni, who's been going great guns, so they want Dhoni to face Matt Abdulali, comes in before him as well. But I just find that really, really weird that you've got two guys, I mean, Moeen Ali and MS Dhoni, who, let's be honest, have been, you know, pretty decent franchise cricketers and you know, and international cricketers. I find that a really, really strange scenario that there's just something not quite right from a balance perspective for them.
I'll tell you what is working well, though, is their bowling attack.
Yeah.
Their bowling, I think, if you put it up against KKR, I think Chennai have got the better bowling attack on paper, and they've got guys that, like you say, they're balanced. Their fifth bowling option is probably better than KKR's fifth bowling option, probably better than Sunrise's fifth bowling option. So if their batting can get it together, I think the top four is a weakness right now for Chennai. Like you say, 5 through 8 are getting a ton of runs. But, you know, Mitchell in a bit of a hole. Conway's out for the tournament now. He's been replaced.
Is he actually?
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. So yeah, he's been replaced.
And they brought Richard Gleeson in. So yes. They brought a 37-year-old seamer in for a...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that could be because Mustafa might have, you know, international duties.
Yep.
Bangladesh is a side that has games, I think, through like right through May, I think. So he might miss the back half of that. So maybe the Gleeson decision is around that. It might mean they end up, you know, bringing another spinner in. We'll see what they do the next week or so. But, yeah, interesting decision. I didn't know Conway had been completely ruled out. But,
yeah
maybe kind of start getting more from Rachin as they go on.
We're going to go off piece in terms of the table again, coming into, I think we're down to, where are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, 5 with LSG. And look, you know, again, just we sort of talked a bit about this, the game that they had. You know, just the one game this week as well, the one we just talked about, you know, but it was massive because for some reasons, if they'd slipped behind, you know, 2 wins behind CSK, it would have been a big problem. And, you know, I thought that they would lose that game. Maybe if I'd known Matt Hickey in their side, I might have changed my tune. But, you know, I think it really was a captain's knock from KL Rahul that kind of got them across the line. And I sort of wanted to pinpoint him because he's someone who, over the years on these IPL shows, he kind of cops a lot of criticism. And, you know, I think what I've noticed about him this year, it certainly feels to me that he's showing a lot more aggressive intent. And the stats sort of bear that out a little bit. I mean, in this game, he was 82-53 balls, striking at 143 strike rate this season, which, you know, would be his highest strike rate since 2018. It's his third best of his IPL career. And last season, it was down at 113, which is obviously very low. For him. You know, his career strike rate is still 135, so it's not like it's a massive jump, but it does feel like that intent is there. And the way him and Quinton de Kock went about this, and they made it look pretty easy to chase down 170-odd or whatever it was.
What do we think about now, though? Seriously, bit of real talk. Are they a finals contender? I'm quite surprised that you've got them where you are.
Well, I was ready to write them off. I really was. If they'd have lost to CSK, I would have bumped them down. I think if I'm ranking this purely on who do I think can win the tournament, probably, you know, Mumbai is above them, and in terms of the actual match winners and things. But look, they're going to. I think they're another side that is going to live or die off their top order. And then some of these finishers coming to the party, like Puran, Stoyanis, and these other players that they have. If Quinton de Kock and KL Rahul can bat like they did in that game, you know, they've got a chance. And that's sort of like, they're a little bit like Gujarat in the sense that they're a side that I want to write off, but you can't. They kind of just keep picking up these wins. Mm. So over a long tournament, I can't quite say, I'm done with you guys now.
They've done the rest of the league a massive favour in this last game against CSK, because if CSK had gone to 10 points, the only chasing team could have potentially been Gujarat, and they've got 8, and they haven't looked brilliant. Mm. So actually, they've done Mumbai a huge favour, they've done Delhi a huge favour, they've done Gujarat a huge favour, they've done themselves a huge favour by keeping the rest of that table pretty close and keeping the rest of the pack with a little bit of incentive to chase that rabbit.
Yeah, I think the key though is that they play them again, don't they? So yeah. CSK LSG is you know, the next cab off the rank, and I think then when you start to look at that kind of, you know, form piece, and again we'll talk about Mumbai in a while, and you know, if they win their next game, you know, from a record perspective, they're going to be 4-2 out of their last 6. If they lose, they'll be 3-3.
Yeah,
and it's the same conversation with Chennai and Lucknow. So that really is a big game in terms of, you know, a swing. Chennai would then be, you know, 3-3, and then they've gone, you know, 2 losses, 2 wins, 2 losses. And so, you know, this is a really, really big game for them. To ask your question around whether they're finals contenders, I don't think they are. I tend to agree that I think Mumbai have probably got a bit more quality, and you might see them come up through. through the ranks, because I think we're looking relatively settled at the very top of the table, aren't we?
Seems that way at the moment.
You know, I think you can say that Rajasthan and Kolkata are definitely going to go through. I think obviously it then sounds silly to say it because they're on the same points, but Sunrisers, I don't necessarily think are as strong as those two teams in my view. So yeah, someone's got to come through that, you know, that midfield pack. And yeah, I think we're playing for those third and fourth places rather than I think the first and second.
Before we move on from LSG, do we have any Mayank Yadav mail?
I don't know. I thought he was close. I saw a bit of footage of him bowling and stuff and before the last game. So, you know, maybe he's not too far away. I mean, obviously getting another bowler back in that mix would certainly help. You know, I think they just have a solid side. And again, bringing in a match winner like him, I mean, it's sort of, you know, we don't want to pipe him up too much, as much as after two games we were saying he should play for India in the World Cup. But, you know, he was having that impact. So if he obviously can come back and get himself back in the mix, then that'll be huge for them.
Yeah, I agree. Ian Bishop wrote about it this week, I think, for ESPN Crick Info. He identified Mayank Yadav as someone India need to invest a hell of a lot of money in to get his body right, make sure that this injury doesn't become a long-term series of injuries and that we start spending a little bit more money. And it was an interesting analogy between, you know, fast bowlers and NBA players.
Oh, yeah.
In that the amount of money that they need to invest in their body now to keep them fit and healthy over a long period of time is not just, you know, the Dennis Lilly, we're going to go for a run and then we're going to go for another run and then we're going to go for yet more running. They actually need to spend a lot of energy and time investing in their bodies and looking after themselves. And we hope that Indian cricket do for Mayank Yadav, because he could be a special talent.
Yeah, and look, that's going to be one of the challenges. And look, maybe we'll come on to this on another podcast, but I think that's going to be one of the challenges of the way the franchise game evolves, is that players are probably going to have to, like tennis players and golfers, have their own strength and conditioning guy and fitness guy. It's not going to be the boards that end up necessarily, they're clearly going to front some of that cash. But I think at some point the boards are going to say, well, hold on a second. You play for us when you want to play for us, playing franchise cricket the majority of the time. If you want the riches from that, then, you know, if you want someone to, you know, work out your gym plan for you, go and pay for it yourself.
Yeah. Well, and that might be in the same sense that some of those players we've talked about a little bit of certain franchises that have, you know, spots all around the world.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to pick up a contract for the Indians or, you know, or the Royals or whatever.
Well, that's a very nice segue to go next, isn't it? I think on the power rankings.
So yes, we are going to go to Mumbai and again, only one game this week, but a win against the Punjab Kings, a game that they looked completely in control of 90% of the game until suddenly they didn't, and then almost looked like they were about to lose and then, you know, somehow kind of came back to win in the end. Obviously they are like here at six, they are here that higher than their ladder position. But as touched on before, it's mainly on the potential that when this side is clicking, they are a very, very good side. I still have massive concerns about their bowling, you know, aside from Jasprit Bumrah, who is just absolute, you know.
Well, and Kutsira as well. I think we're not giving him enough credit. I know from an economy rate perspective.
Yeah, he's getting hit around a bit.
But he's taking wickets and so is, yeah, and Bumrah's doing both. You know, he's taking wickets and obviously going at a pretty decent economy as well.
That Yorker to Riley Rousseau was
special, very special.
Yeah, special stuff. And look, yeah, I mean, they had Punjab Kings 14 for 4 in this game. They had this game, you know, on toast. So, yes, they got themselves into a situation with Kutsia and with Bumrah that they, you know, they put away this side very easily, it seemed, until Ashutosh Sharma walked to the crease. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, where are you guys at with them? Because, yeah, I feel like they have a lot of potential, but they're going to have to start beating some of these other sides above them now. That's the thing that they have to deal with. They're chasing. So they go into this game tonight against Rajasthan. They lose that and suddenly they're way behind. You know, they start falling behind.
They almost need an unbeaten run to the end of the tournament then, don't they?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I mean,
they've got three wins. If they lose tonight, they've then got, what, six games to get. Yeah, so they probably can drop one more if they need to get to that magic eight that we've predicted as the cutoff.
Yep, and they've got games coming up against LSG, KKR, and Sunrisers, and then KKR, and then LSG. So they're going to play teams like two through five most of the rest of the way home.
Yep.
So they have to beat teams above them on the ladder to get into the finals. I think you're right about their bowling attack. Their bowling attack doesn't look like it's got as much depth, even as KKR's bowling attack at the moment. But you have a look at their record. Over the last four games in the IPL, only three teams have better wins than a record that's got more wins than losses.
Yep.
Sunrisers are 4-0. Rajasthan are 3-1. Mumbai are 3-1. Mm. Every other side at best 2-2 over the last four games. So they are trending in the right direction. They're winning games that they need to win. I think if the Royals game is not a must-win game, it does then become pretty much must-win from then on in, because they're going to be playing teams like Lucknow, like Sunrisers, like KKR the rest of the way home. So their bowling attack needs to find something, and they need to get something out of, I think, a little bit more out of a Tilak Varma, but the rest of their batting lineup is coming along just nicely, I think.
Yeah, look, I mean, Scott, that last game, I mean, we're talking about aesthetically pleasing sixes. I think Sky might have had it last week, the turquoise cap for his flick off his legs. He pretty much did the exact same thing in the Punjab game as well. So, you know, he's certainly doing that job. Rohit's doing a nice job. It was a massive six off Ashdeep over mid-wicket that was pretty good to watch. And almost in the way that they, I think for them in that game in terms of their batting, it was quite pleasing to see them be 100. They were 115 for two after 14 and actually finished the job really nicely. Mm. You know, put 80 on in the last six overs, which, you know, when I look at their lineup, I think, I mean, I know they have done it with Ramaria Shepherd and Tim David. They do have the finishers there. You know, you mentioned Tilak Varma before, but I see them more as a side that sets the tone up front. And, and you know, like I said, they did that in this game by getting a platform, but it was really nice, I think, to see those guys finish the job. So, yeah.
Yeah, fair point. I mean, Varma's got 330s in his last five digs, but he hasn't gone on and gotten the big score that he's capable of. But he did do a good job sort of icing that cake against, what was it, Punjab?
Yeah.
Where are we going next?
So we're going to Gujarat, and, you know, they're another side, I guess, that have had a very mixed week, a heavy, heavy defeat against Delhi, but, you know, managed to scrape home against Punjab Kings overnight to, as I said, make sure that we can't quite write them off. I'm very close. I just have so many, like I said, you know, we're starting to find some of these sides become true to form, and I really think this Gujarat batting lineup is just a big problem. You know, they did, you know, to be fair, last couple of games, David Miller's been back, Omarzai came back in the last game. So there's a bit more shape to this lineup. But still, if Shubman Gill doesn't get runs, I just struggle to see how they're going to score. And for a side that now, you know, is in a position where, as we said, they're chasing the teams above them. I know they have, on paper, a favourable draw over the next three or four games, but the way they lost that game to Delhi, that the run rate hit that they took, means now that they might need an extra win, right, in terms of trying to get above some of those teams. So, yeah, I think that was a really big dent to them, and kind of just shows what they're capable of in a way, you know, that they don't instill me with confidence that they can go on a big run, because the two sides of their game aren't quite clicking, even though I do really love their bowling attack.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Batting, I think, is the issue. I think we talked about it last week. We talked about whether we're going to see that that turning point in the tournament where the wickets do start to spin a little bit more. And if they do, we talked a hell of a lot about Rashid Khan and his impact. And, you know, we said a side sitting on him, have they worked him out? Him and Noor Ahmed now, even in that Delhi game where they got their arses handed to them, you know, economy rates wise, you know, that they, you know, they had a little bit of an impact, but were never obviously going to get them back in the game. But then in this last game, we saw, you know, I think they went for 35 between them off their eight overs or something ridiculous.
And Punjab were going great basically until they came on, and suddenly the brakes just went on.
So I think, you know, that's what's potentially going to dig them out of the hole, but that, yeah, they're going to need something to fire. They're going to need David Miller to get going. And you just don't see it. They've stuttered too much. And as you said, relied too heavily on Shubman at the top of the order. And let's be honest, if you're scraping home against Punjab, then that probably shows where you are from a form perspective, right? Because we'll come on to Punjab in
a while.
It'll be a while.
Yeah. It's weird saying this, but they have scraped their way to four wins. I'm with you. A win against Punjab, a, a, a close win against Punjab, an unconvincing win against the Kings, doesn't move the needle for me in terms of the power rankings. But if they beat Delhi and then RCB twice, that's seven wins with one game to go, and they're right there.
Yeah.
You know, so they have been, like I said, look, now I've given the rest of the table a gift. No bigger has that gift been given to anyone, if that any of that sentence makes sense, than to Gujarat. You know what I mean, viewers and listeners. Yeah. But they could now, if they roll off three on the bounce against Delhi, RCB, and RCB, that puts them on seven wins, and they're one step away from the finals.
Yeah.
So for a team that I look at it and go, they're not convincing me that they're finals teams, they could go on a run and be almost home.
Yeah. Look, and shout out to, you know, we're mentioning the spin before, shout out to Sai Kishore. He came in and took four for in this last game. Someone who played a few games at the start of the tournament has been out while they've, you know, focused a bit more on the seamers, but came back in and did a really nice job. So, yeah, look, I love their bowling attack. They do have the unit that can kind of restrict sides very well. We see these massive scores, but often for Gujarat, it's been more in the 160s, that kind of range. And obviously this week was much lower than that. But yeah, I'm with you guys that it's just not inspiring me at the moment with the way they're playing.
Let's have a bit of positivity from an Australian perspective with the next team that we talk about. Jake Fraser-McGurk has made his way into this Delhi Capitals squad. Maybe Ricky Ponting sticking the green and gold rather than blue hat on and seeing what he can do for a World Cup, because it looks as if the Delhi Caps are, yeah, we said they were Gomberger early doors, didn't we? What are you getting out, Bordy? Autographed memorabilia of Jake Fraser-McGurk?
I've got some prep. Stuart asked me to prep something, so you guys carry on.
You carry on making as much noise as you can into that microphone. That would be very helpful.
Good.
Just carry on. A look behind the scenes for our YouTube viewers. But, yeah, look, contrasting week again for Delhi. You know, they started the week by, you know, bowling Gujarat out for 89, as we've just said, and then ended up, you know, Sunrisers are 125 for none after six overs. So, you know, it couldn't be much more contrasting for their bowling attack than that. And, you know, I almost want to repeat what I said last week. I don't think that they're getting the consistency around their play to actually make a charge, as much as I think we were very early to write some teams off because of the way that they, you know, two games in this IPL sort of changes the table so much. To be fair, though, the teams that we wrote off are the ones that still remain down the table. But, you know, I do stand by the fact that I think that this is the side that you just don't want to play against if you're one of those sides fighting for your spot, because they showed against Gujarat what they can do. They've got, you know, two top class spinners in Akshar and Kuldeep, who, you know, we touched on before. Even in that, you know, absolute hammering of their bowling attack, they saved them from being a complete disaster and going over 300. They, you know, they were excellent in the game against Gujarat. They've been excellent really all tournament. Going back to Baldy again and throwing to you now that you've found your notes, Jake Fraser-McGurk.
We've not got time for those now.
He's rattled off scores of, since he's, you know, when we wrote them off, basically, Delhi, we said Mitchell Marsh is gone. You know, that's their main, one of their main match winners with the bat is now gone. Since then, Jake Fraser-McGurk has rattled off 55 off 35 balls, 20 off 10, in this latest game, 65 off 18 balls since being brought into the side. And, you know, I mean, his six off Warrior earlier in the week, I mean, boy, oh boy, that was a turquoise cap contender. I do have my winner, you know, since Raj isn't here, is in one of the later teams, but that six from Fraser-McGurk was right up there. And, I threw it to you today, Baldy, because could he get himself into this side? I mean, I know it's only been three games, but he has had a little bit of taste of international action for Australia. He's obviously someone they think pretty highly of. Who would he have to kind of step over to, you know, jump onto that plane over to the West Indies and the USA?
I think if you have a look at Australia's potential 15-man squad, there's probably nine names that are locked in, 10 if you count Matthew Wade as the finisher / wicketkeeper. So you've got five spots left. I haven't named Green or Stoinis in either of those, in any of those 10 spots. So you've got maybe another all-rounder that you want to play with. You've got a backup wicketkeeper that you've got to take. So Inglis will probably go. That's 11, maybe 12 names if you take one of Green and Stoinis. And then you're kind of looking at guys like, you know, Ellis is probably locked in as the reserve bowler. So that's 13 names. You've only got two names to go. So he's really fighting it out, I think, with Matthew Short, with Ashton Agar, and with potentially one of those Green Stoinis combo for those last couple of spots on the tour. If it's going to spin in the West Indies, Australia doesn't have a lot of frontline spin in that side unless you then take Ashton Agar. So he's really down to that last spot if you're going to take Stoinis or Fraser McGurk or potentially a Matthew Short. I think Fraser McGurk is the most exciting of those options. He's probably the best bat of those options. If you were going to take one backup batter, I'd be taking Jake Fraser McGurk. I think it's just going to depend on how many spin options Australia feel like they need, and if they need another frontline spinner in Ashton Agar, or they feel like they need another backup offie in Matthew Short, who can hit a few long balls as well. So I think he's really in a shootout with those two guys to go to the West Indies. But he's so exciting at the moment that if Mitchell Marsh was injured and couldn't make the tournament and you throw him in, he's going to do a good job, I think.
Yeah, I think that the spin thing is probably the key for Australia. And then I also think you've got them written down on your piece of paper, but Wade and English are obviously batting cover as well, aren't they? Yeah. So you could name both of them in the squad. Both of them can take the gloves, and both of them can come in and probably play that, you know, that spare batter role as well. So I think he's, you know, if he has another two or three performances, he probably accelerates that conversation. But I'd imagine it, you know, it might just be a little bit too late for him to time that run, but you never know with injuries and all kinds of things.
And that's the thing, an injury to those all-rounders could make Australia's decision a little bit easier from a selection point of view, in that they go, okay, well, Stoinis has picked up a niggle or Marsh isn't quite right, which would be a huge blow. But now the selection of Jake Fraser McGurk becomes an easy decision from that point of view.
I think that, you know, your point about spin, I know it doesn't help him in terms of the makeup of the squad, but I think it might help him if they're thinking about players that we need against spin, because, you know, most of that he's done has been against spin. I mean, you know, it's not to say he's been weak against seam, but, you know, we think about, you know, him hitting Kunal Pandya for three consecutive sixes, this latest 65, he was very, you know, really, really harsh on the spinners, put them, you know, put made them, you know, pay for anything basically that was close to his bat. So yeah, I think that really helps him. This is, you know, bring it always back to him. He's got that Finn Allen kind of feel about him. And look, mate, he may prove to be a much better player than Finn Allen in terms of his international record. I think Finn, you know, if we're going to be harsh, probably hasn't quite lived up to his potential necessarily in T20 cricket. He's started to get that a bit for New Zealand, but he does, you know, Fraser McGurk, and if we're looking back at the last World Cup and what Finn Allen was able to win a game on his own just about in that first game against Australia, and it kind of gives you that feeling that he could go out, hit 65 off 18 balls, and he's pretty much won you a game with, you know, contributions from the rest of your batting lineup. So he's an exciting player for sure.
Probably no surprises where we're going to go next and almost last on the Lipshaw Index this week.
Yeah, we're at the Punjab Kings, and you know, if I could have both of the RCB last, I probably would. I really just, you know, they're a side that is just really struggling at the moment. I know that we keep going on about it, and it actually is kind of getting ridiculous now that every single game they play actually does go to the last over. They played two more games this week against Mumbai, Gujarat, both went into the final over. But, you know, they continue to be on the wrong side of those results, and they continue to be pretty much out of those games well before that final over, even though they somehow get to that final over and make a game of it. You know, if we think about the way things are going for them, they're just not getting contributions from certainly that top order. And it's basically coming down to Ashutosh and Shashank Singh kind of saving the day, which sort of makes me think like maybe they should shift things around and give those guys a bit more responsibility. If you think about Ashutosh, I mean, very cool story, Ashutosh. I don't know if you guys have read a bit about him. I tried to, you know, in the last week, I was trying to get a bit of information because I think I've said in an earlier episode, for us here in New Zealand, we, you know, come across some of these names in the IPL and you're kind of like, oh, who's this? You know, they've played this one amazing innings in the IPL, and you sort of think, okay, is this a one? You know, he's rattled off a bunch of different scores. And against Mumbai, you know, his 61, 28 balls, he was going to end up 14 for 4, 111 for 7, to actually needing 28 off 24 balls. You know, he turned that game from absolutely no chance to a game where they were suddenly in the box seat. And yeah, it's been very, very impressive that they've been able to unearth these, but the rest of the side is just not performing.
Who would you rather be the franchise owner of right now, Punjab or RCB? Because both sides are kind of, you know, limpet mind attach themselves to the bottom of the ladder. But which franchise would you like to be the owner of going forward of these two franchises, do you think?
I think if you're looking at, like, I was both these sides, actually, I started looking, when's the next mega auction? Because I think both of them need a bit of a refresh. When you look at the players that I think for Punjab, it's more, I don't actually, you know, the general balance of their squad, I feel like, is actually fine. It's just that they're not getting performances from the players. When I look at RCB, that is a side that, like, the balance is just, and that's a side that could hugely benefit from a mega auction. For Punjab, yeah, the guys that they have on the side are the issue, and it's some of those young players that they need to hang on to and actually nurture that can hopefully take them forward and sort of, yeah, build their attack off Ashdeep Singh, build their, you know, batting lineup, some of these other guys that are starting to emerge, the Prabs Imrans, the Ashutosh, who we just mentioned, Shashank, who's not actually that young necessarily, but is starting to contribute. I think they have the bulk of that as local players. It's the international players for Punjab that haven't really been able to do the job.
Yeah, look, you hit the nail on the head. The overseas players have let them down badly in this tournament, haven't they? I think we've not seen a great deal from Bairstow. We've not really seen Liam Livingston get going, Kagiso Rabada. I know he's been coming back from, you know, some injuries, etc. Sam Curran, actually, when you look at his record, he's actually had an impact in most games, either with bat,
yeah, and opening, yeah, now.
Bat or ball, so and captain as well of this last game, I think, as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bright spot for them, but, you know, he has had an impact on some games. But, yeah, so I guess to answer your question, I think it really depends on whether or not, from a RCB perspective, you know, they hang on to Virat and Faf, whether or not on the playing staff with Faf, whether or not this is potentially his transition into coaching. We know he was a fantastic leader of that South African side. So I think it's, yeah, the question for me, I don't know enough about the infrastructure around the two clubs, but I think even though their results are worse, I think I would probably rather be RCB at this stage, unless, yeah, you've got that massive checkbook at the next big auction.
Yeah, it's a struggle. And I mean, you know, as well, move to RCB, and look, they are still a complete shambles. I mean, it, you know, it's got to the point where Maxwell, as you guys touched on midweek, he's sort of almost, it seems like, asked out, or, you know, or has said it's kind of,
it was a weird social media day. Number one, he pulls out and, you know, says, I'm not playing. And then the next thing you see is, I've just signed for the American Freedom, or whoever his, you know, US Major League team is.
Yeah.
I guess I'd already got that lined up on the Twitter.
I have no Major League mail, other than someone was excited to play with Ricky Ponting, and I would be too. But yeah, there you have it.
Well, and yeah, look, Will Jacks comes in. You know, he's actually been going okay. Yeah, he's probably one of the bright spots. Lockie Ferguson's played a couple of games, been on the wrong end of some balls looking up into the stands, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's got a chiropractor appointment tonight, yeah.
Siraj comes back and actually was going okay until the final over that he bowled. You know, a very exciting game overnight. They're playing some games that are fun to watch, but they're not that fun to watch if you're an RCB fan, because, yeah, I almost don't know what to say about them, because it's just the same story now every single week. And actually, you know, thinking about sixes, I should say that the turquoise cap winner, we moved on too quickly. I've given it to Ashutosh for that six that he hit off Jasprit Bumrah, the one where he's gone across, flicked it over the leg side. That was, maybe too much of a copy of Sky because of him holding the cap. But yeah, fantastic stuff from him. But yeah, RCB, I mean, do you guys have anything else that we can add? It's just going from bad to worse almost.
It is, and I think that if you look at their lineup and you think they should be in that mid-table logjam as a minimum, really, shouldn't they?
Their batting should. Their bowling is just a disgrace, though, isn't it?
Is it though? I mean,
I'm talking about when you look at the list. When you look at Mohammed Siraj, who has had a massive amount of Red Bull success. Yash Dahl's been all right in this tournament, I think. Lockie, I know you will rate pretty highly. Congrats on him from an international perspective as well. What they lack is they lack someone with that nous. I think that that they've not got one of those real
Mustafa Zur,
Haven't got I was going to say Behrendorf, which is a really strange name
but
to
it's
say.
A good comp,
but they don't, or an AJ Tyle. They don't have that sort of older, cool-headed, particularly seamer that kind of can show the way to some of these guys. And
Reece Topley was kind of looking like that until he went for 68 off his four against Sunrisers the other day.
They've really, really struggled. But then, when you look at that batting and you look at Kohli and Du Plessis and Jax, who's, had some impact for England, Pattadar's been brilliant at times. DK, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's a top seven that can win your games, but unfortunately, it's not even the fifth bowling option that's been the problem for RCB. It's been some of their mainline frontline bowlers who've been problematic. If you just look at the scorecards, it doesn't actually look that bad. They've conceded 200 twice, and sure, one of them was like 290,000, but it's the chases that they're not defending. Like Mumbai got home in 15 overs. I think they had another game where KKR got home in 16 overs against them, looked pretty comfy. So it's not being able to defend the chase. CSK really comfortable in 18 encounters. So like they're not defending 270 all the time. But by the same token, Faf's right. They're not putting pressure on opposition batting lineups with enough regularity to win them more than one game of cricket in seven. And honestly, I'm shocked that they're 1-6. Like, I'm not surprised that they're 1-5 and now 1-6. I'm not surprised that that's happened. But at the start of this season, I did not foresee RCB being this bad. And if you have the games that they've got, can I see them winning any of those games? Maybe Punjab, maybe Delhi. They might get to three wins, which is unfathomable at the start of the season for this side. It is a massive, massive disappointment for their fans and for, I think, casual fans of the IPL.
Well, totally. I mean, just to jump on the back of that, I totally agree. We thought there were going to be issues with their bowling, but that we've talked about with some of these sides at the top, they're able to get through their the struggles of their bowling by just absolute power and able to get across the line. And look, they lost this game by, one run, one ball in this latest game, and suddenly you're on two wins. I mean, not that that would have, brought a surge to the playoffs, but they've been in a couple of close games that they could have got across the line and haven't. And suddenly that changes your thinking about them as an overall squad. But one win from seven games, it's pretty rough. And, like you say, it's very disappointing for one of the marquee franchises in the tournament.
Well, boys, just over an hour on the pod, as per usual, with us three on. We've got that you want to have a conversation about one mulligan apiece, if you want one. Let's just look at the betting odds, because I think we've talked about where we see these teams are in the Lipshaw Index. Bookmakers have Rajasthan, then the Sunrisers, then the KKR, then Chennai, then Mumbai. Sixth. And then we go, Gujarat, Delhi, Punjab, RCB. So, they're suggesting that, the winners of this tournament are going to come from those.
Very similar to my rankings, eh?
Yeah.
They've been listening to the pod.
No, I think what we've found out is Stuart goes on Odds Checker.
That's a great look. Yeah. But I can start this off. So my picks were Rajasthan and Kolkata, so I don't need any mulligans.
Yeah.
So if
you must have had two other sides.
I don't need them though. I don't need them. I'm just going to – I actually don't – I'll even give you guys extra mulligans. I'm that confident.
I'm actually not – that I'm reasonably happy with my picks that I made at the start of the tournament as well. I went back and looked. I had Mumbai, Rajasthan, CSK, and Sunrise, top four. It may not quite work out like that. Obviously, we don't have KKR in that mix, and you know, they are a side that, you know, if you had to predict now, probably are going to make that top four. So one of these sides are not going to make it. I think the issue is, for me, that, you know, might be the biggest challenge is that I had Mumbai to win the tournament. And now we're looking at a situation where if they don't win that game overnight that we've just talked about, that they're going to be, you know, really, really fighting for that, that playoff spot. So that's the, but at this point, I'm kind of still prepared to stick where I am and say I'm happy enough with my analysis to start with. So I won't take the mulligan just yet.
The only thing that keeps me going on this podcast is my goldfish-like memory that allows me to make predictions and then forget them almost immediately. So I couldn't tell you who I had in the top four, and probably doesn't even matter because whatever I change to was also going to be wrong. So I don't think there's any point in me taking some mulligans because my mulligan will be equally as poor.
If let's change it up though in a positive sense. If you had to pick a side now to go through and win with all of the things that we've talked about, you know, we obviously the sides that are at the top have their things that they have to consider. Is there a side that is standing out above the rest for any of you guys?
Yeah, look, I forgot that we picked four sides, so I'm a little bit like Baldy. I thought it was the two sides that we'd picked. I forgot that we'd actually got predictions as well.
You had KKR in your top four, though.
Yeah, you did have both those sides.
No, I did, because I've got both of them as two of the teams that I previewed. I'm actually going to say KKR ahead of the Royals. I think I'd pick the Royals to win it, and I'd like to see the Royals win it. That you know, they probably would be my, you know, my... If I was going to buy a cap or a jersey, that would be the one that I would probably go for. But I think KKR, actually, I'm really where they're at the moment in terms of, look, I guess they've got the sort of balances right now. From a batting perspective, we've seen Sonil Naren with the ball, as we discussed earlier on. So I think that they are arguably, you know, peaking at the right time. So, yeah, but KKR and the Royals, for me, but probably KKR on... my feel at the moment.
Yep.
More likely to win the tournament.
Baldy?
I like KKR's spin. You know, I think spin's still going to play a part. That's why I still like Chennai. I think I like, of the teams that are up there at the top now, I think Chennai have got really good spin. They've got an underperforming top four that will come right. I think Gaikwad will come right. I think Ratchan will come right at some point, or they'll change him,
Mitchum might go up there, or something will happen.
Something will go right for Chennai, and they've got good spin, they've got great leadership, and they've got terrific finishing. I really, really like Chennai at the moment, and you can't write off any of those other top sides. They've also got just about all of those things, maybe not quite the spin quotient that Chennai do, but there's some great finishing in some of these sides as well. So if we get finals, it could go down to, like, you know, the last ball going for six or four.
Absolutely. Look, big game tonight. We've got Rajasthan versus Indian. So, well, big, really big game for Mumbai, probably less so for Rajasthan. If Mumbai can win that one, they probably just kind of get themselves in the fight. As Baldy was alluding to earlier, that would give them two and two out of the last four, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got at least a little bit of a foothold into the middle of that table. But we'll be back in your feeds a little bit later in the week, probably Thursday or Friday, to cover the goings on over the next 2 or 3 days. But this is the end of the power rankings. Please do like, subscribe, or recommend the podcast to a friend, family member, colleague, even someone you don't like. Doesn't really matter if it helps others find our cricketing podcast. But for now, it is good night and God bless from us all here in Auckland. We'll see you on the next episode. Later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.